Namas Kritya Madam Seva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Chapter entitled The Prayers of Queen Kunti, Text Number 46. Vyasadhyayar Ishvare Hadyay. Krishnendat Bhuta Kamana. Prabodhito piti hasair. Na bhujyata shuchapita. Vyasa ajay. By great sages headed by Vyas. Ishwara, the Almighty God, Iha, by the will of, Gyai, by the learned, Krishnena, by Krishna himself, Adbhuta Kamana, by one who performs all superhuman work. Prabodhita, being solaced. Api, although. Itihasai, by evidences from the histories. Na, not. Abhujata, satisfied. Shucha arpita, distressed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. King Yudhishthira, who was very much aggrieved, could not be convinced, despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyas and the Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. Translation responsibly. King Yudhishthira, who was much aggrieved,
could not be
convinced,
despite instructions by great sages,
headed by
Vyas
and Lord Krishna himself,
the performer of superhuman feats,
and despite of all historical evidence.
Purport.
The pious King Yudhishthira was mortified because all the mass massacre of human beings in the Battle of Kurukshetra, especially on his account,
because of the mass massacre, especially.
Duryodhana was there on the throne, and he was doing well in his administration, and in one sense there was no need of fighting. But on the principle of justice, Yudhishthira was to replace him. The whole clique of politics centered around this point, and all the kings and residences of the world, of the whole world, became involved in this fight between the rival brothers. Lord Krishna was also there on the side of King Yudhishthira. It is said in the Mahabharata, Adipava 20, that 640 million men were killed in the 18 days of the battle of Kurukshetra, and some hundreds of thousands were missing. Practically, this was the greatest battle in the world within 5,000 years. This mass killing, simply to enthrone Maharaj Yudhishthira, was too mortifying. So he tried to be convinced with evidences from histories by great sages like Vyasa and the Lord himself that the fight was just because the cause was just. But Maharaj Yudhisthira could not be satisfied, even though he was instructed by the greatest personalities of the time. Krishna is designated herein as the performer of superhuman actions, but in this particular instance, neither he nor Vyasa could convince King Yudhisthira. Does it mean that he failed to be a superhuman actor? No, certainly not. The interpretation is that the Lord as Ishwara, or the Supersoul in the hearts of both King Yudhisthira and Vyasa, performs still more superhuman action because the Lord desired it. As Supersoul of King Yudhisthira, he did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Vyasa and others, including himself, because he desired that the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev, who was another great devotee of the Lord. The Lord wanted that at the last stage of his material existence, the great warrior Bhishma Dev see his beloved grandchildren, King Yudhisthira, etc., now situated on the throne, and thus pass away from the world very peacefully. Bhishma Dev was not at all satisfied to fight against the Pandavas, who were his beloved fatherless grandchildren. But the Kshatriyas are also very stern people, and therefore he was obliged to take the side of Duryodhana, because he was maintained at the expense of Duryodhana. Besides this, the Lord also desired that King Yudhisthira be pacified by the words of Bhishma Dev, so that the world could see that Bhishma Dev excelled all in knowledge, including the Lord himself. Omagyan timadandasya gununjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swavadantikam Vansha Kaupata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Petitanam Pavanevyo Vaishna Vibhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described that Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, which means it is spotless Purana. Actually, this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself, 12th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. It is a spotless Purana. Now, why is it spotless? There are several reasons why the Purana is considered to be spotless. Two principal reasons is that what differentiates the Bhagavatam from other Vedic literatures? Because if we look historically at the compilation of the Vedas, Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas, but still felt dissatisfied after compiling them. So then it was instructed that he needed to further compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is it that demarks the Srimad Bhagavatam as being different from the others? What is it that's in the Bhagavatam which was not in the others? Because the others are there. And there's many wonderful Upanishads. The Gita was spoken. It was in the Mahabharata. There are many Puranas which are very important. Padma Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu Purana. Very important Puranas. So why is it that it was necessary to speak the Bhagavatam? What differentiates it? What is in the Bhagavatam that is not in the other scriptures? So two things are there which are principal. One is that Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. This is also spoken of in other Puranas, in other places, and Krishna's pastimes are extensively dealt with in other places also. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is a great deal of pastime regarding Krishna, even Srimati Radharani. In the Hari Vamsha, which is the Mahabharata is the history of the Kuru dynasty, and the history of the Yadu dynasty is the Hari Vamsha. So that is also described, and there are many details given about Krishna's pastime. So it is not that Krishna was not spoken about, but he was not exclusively glorified as being the supreme personality of Godhead, the original source of all other living entities. Just like there are Puranas, because sometimes, like in South India, in other sampradayas, just like in South India, we have five main areas, which is called Pancha Dravida. And it's a type of Vaishnavism, or a mood of devotion, which is there in South India. It is the mood of awe and reverence, or Dasya Bhav, towards Lakshmi and Narayan. So that is principally found within South India. You go to all the great Tirupati, Sri Rangam, all the great temples, Lakshmi and Narayan temples generally, and the mood is different there. It is pure Vaishnavism, but it is in Dasharas. It is leading to Vaikuntha. It is a different bhav. It is the mood of worship of Lakshmi and Narayan. Then, in northern India, we have Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Gaudiya Vaishnavism means Gauda Desh. Gauda Desh means northern India, and there are five main areas within northern India, five main states which were there from ancient times. And the type of worship which is in the northern part of India is called Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So principally we see that Krishna is worshipped, Ram is worshipped, because Ayodhya is in northern India, Dwarka is in the northern part of India, Vrindavan is in the northern part of India. So there's a different type of worship there. And in that part of India, now we see in that place, then Krishna is especially worshipped in Vrindavan. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is teaching us this particular type of worship. Worship of Krishna in Vrindavan. Ultimately, this is where the Bhagavatam is leading us to. That Krishna is that original Swayam Bhagavatam. Now in South India, they worship Lakshmi Narayan, and there are statements in certain Puranas that state that Krishna and Balaram are a black and white hare who appeared on the body of Lord Narayan or Mahavishnu, and then they incarnated from Mahavishnu. So it is evidenced in certain Puranas that Krishna and Balaram are coming from Narayan or from Mahavishnu. In other words, he is the supreme personality. But in the Bhagavatam, it clearly states, this is the final literature of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva says the final verdict, just like when you write a book, the epilogue or the final chapter or the final part, that is the summation of everything which was spoken before. And that is said to be the most important thing. Just like how does Krishna finish the Bhagavad Gita? What are the final instructions Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita? Because the end is the most important thing. The last thing you say is the most important thing. Just like when someone's leaving, the last thing you say is the most important thing. That's what they remember. That's the final. You reveal your heart at the final moment. That's like it says at the time of death, everything becomes uncovered. And you just reveal what's in your heart. So at the time of death, you will reveal like that, what's in the heart. That will become uncovered. There's nothing to hide anymore. So at the end, what does Krishna say? Has anyone here read the Bhagavad Gita before? Yeah, Sarvadama. Yeah, first he says, Manmana Bhavama Bhakta. So he says four things. He says, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, always think of me. He says four things. Right? This is called the Rehasya. Rehasya means the secret of the Gita. The secret is, always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Then Arjuna says, Krishna, make it even more simple. Right? Make it even more straightforward. Because people these days are not very intelligent. This is mentioned in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. People have short memories. Just like you ask someone to do something and they turn around, they walk off and they come back and say, what was that that you just... So that's what we're like in Kali Yuga. So Arjuna says, just give me one thing that we can concentrate on. So Krishna says, Sava Daman Parijaja. Sava Daman. And Prabhupada says, when he speaks on this verse, at one point, Prabhupada says, Krishna has said so many things in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, just forget it all. I've spoken so many things. Dhyan, yoga, karma, sannyas, vairagya. I said so many things. Just forget it all. Sava daman parijaja, forget it. Mam ekam sharanam braja, eka, one thing. Mam eka sharanam, just become surrendered to me. That is the essence of the Gita. Right, that is the final point. So, after compiling the Vedas, then Vyasadeva, if he wrote one more thing. So what's in that final thing? That is the essence of everything. That is called the Veda Sara. Veda Sara means the essence of all the Vedas. That is the final thing. So the Bhagavatam is the final thing. So it is establishing that Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original personality of Godhead himself. Which Krishna? Because Krishna has many forms. Right? There is Vrindavan Krishna. There is Mathura Krishna. There is Dwarka Krishna. Right? When he came to earth 5,000 years ago, how long did he stay? 125 years. 125 years. So how long did he stay in Vrindavan? 10 years, 11 years, like that. So around about 10 years, 10 to 11 years, he stayed in Vrindavan. Then where did he go? Mathura. And how long did he stay in Mathura for? Right.
Not very long.
Not very long. No, but he did stay longer than he stayed in Vrindavan. Who was attacking Mathura every year? Jarasandha. Right, every year came down, brought an army, attacked, got defeated, went back home. His friend said, you just had bad luck, so go back and do it again next year. So, okay, get another army, go back, got defeated. The whole army was destroyed by Krishna and Balaram by themselves. They just came out of Mathura and destroyed the whole army by themselves. And then he went back, and then his friend said, oh, it wasn't a very good time astrologically to have a battle, so you lost. Go back again next year. So how many times did he come back? 18 times. Came back again and again and again. This is called demoniac mentality. Even when you do something and it's not working, you go back and do it again. 18 times. Right? It's not very intelligent like that. So he went back 18 times. So 17 times he attacked. The 18th time, Krishna thought, this is a little too much. So I'm going to... But also Krishna wanted to establish Dwarka. He wanted to establish a safe place for all of his devotees to live, his family to live, because Mathura is constantly being attacked by demons. Demons are always envious of Krishna. So they'll always attack. So Krishna thought, let me go to Dwarka. I'll build a city in the ocean, so they can't get to us. Like that, they can only get in one way. It'll be easier to defend everyone. It'll be less trouble for everyone. So he said, let's go to the ocean. So then he left. On the 18th time Jarasandha came, Krishna just walked off. And then another demon was following at the same time. What was his name? Kaliyavana. Kaliyavana. And then he chased Krishna for miles and miles and miles. And then Krishna was walking and he was running, but he couldn't catch Krishna. He kept running and running and running. Krishna was just walking. Krishna kept looking back at him, but he couldn't get to him. So then Krishna walked into a cave, and Kaliyavana ran in, and he saw there was someone lying on the ground. Krishna went to the back of the cave, and there was someone lying on the ground, and he thought, oh, there's Krishna. And he went up, kicked him like that, and it was Muchukunda. And Muchukunda was given a benediction by the demigods, that after he fought for the demigods for many years, then he could rest as long as he wanted. And anyone who disturbed his rest, just like what happens sometimes when someone disturbs your rest, You wake up and you burn them to ashes. Just look at them like that. So he had the benediction that he could burn to ashes anyone who woke him up before he was ready. So Kaliyama comes in and kicks him, which he couldn't just wake up and just burn into ashes. So Krishna is very expert. And one of Krishna's 64 qualities is a genius. Genius means you can do many things at once. Genius means you can do one thing and accomplish many things simultaneously. So that is one of Krishna's 64 qualities. So for 18 years he stayed in Mathura, and then he went to Dwarka for the remaining about 96 years or so. So he went back to Dwarka, and that's where he spent most of his time. So Krishna stayed on earth with us for 125 years. So he appeared in Mathura, in Dwarka, and in Vrindavan. But that original form of Krishna is the Vrindavan Krishna. This is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shama Sundara, Vrindavan Krishna, Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, the son of Madhya Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, that is the original personality of Godhead. And the Shastra states that Krishna never takes a step outside of Vrindavan. So when he appears to leave Vrindavan, now if you read the 10th canto of the Krishna book, when he appeared to leave Vrindavan, he went with a Krura. So they went on the chariot. And then when they got to the border of Vrindavan and Mathura, the Jamuna River was there. And they went to take bath in the Jamuna. So Krishna and Balaram said to a Krura, "Let's take bath." So they went to the river, they all took bath. So they went underwater to take bath, and when Akrura looked underwater, he saw Mahavishnu and Ananta Sesh. Underwater, he saw Mahavishnu, and then he came up and he saw Krishna and Balaram. And then he went underneath and he saw Mahavishnu, like he saw both things. So it describes at that point that when Krishna appeared to leave Vrindavan, it was an expansion that left. It wasn't the original Krishna. The Swayam Bhagavan never leaves Vrindavan. He never takes a step outside. When he leaves Vrindavan, Prabhupada said that is Vasudeva Krishna, the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. He leaves. It's an expansion. He leaves. Right? And then he goes to Dwarka. He goes to Mathura, and then he goes to Dwarka. That's a different Krishna outside. Right? Same person, but an expansion. Not the original Swayam Bhagavan. But that original personality, he stays within Vrindavan always. Now, if you're reading the 10th canto in the Krishna book, you'll hear the description that Krishna appeared in Mathura. Where did he appear? Right, in Kamsa's prison. Has anyone been there?
Yeah.
Right, you go to Mathura, and then you go to Jammasthan. Jammasthan is in Mathura, huge temple, right, and there's a huge mosque right next to each other. Because many years ago, the Mughals, when they invaded India, they ruled India for 700 years, I think, from the 11th century to the 18th century. So the Mughals, when they came and they ruled India, they smashed many of the temples. They destroyed the deities, even. And they would build mosques. So they built a huge mosque on Jammasthan, on the place where Krishna appeared. Later on, when the Mughal Empire lost its power, then the devotees built a huge temple. So there's a huge mosque and a huge temple right next to each other, Jammasthan. So then if you go behind the temple, they take you down underneath into a cave, and you can go down into the tunnel, and you can go to the actual place where Krishna appeared, underground, in that prison. So you go down into the prison. So Krishna appeared there, that's how we hear. But if you read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the Acharyas, they describe simultaneously, he appeared over in Vrindavan at the same time. So Vasudeva Krishna appeared in Mathura, but Nanda Nandana, the original Krishna, the Swayam Bhagavan, he appeared in Vrindavan simultaneously. So what happened in Krishna book? We hear that when Krishna appeared, Kamsa had the entire palace surrounded by soldiers. It said there were so many soldiers surrounding the palace, and there were huge warriors surrounding the palace, because he didn't want anyone to, because the, how many children was it before? Eight? Six. Six. So the six children were killed, right? Before.
Seven.
Seventh was Balaram, who got transformed to Rohini. So the six children were killed. So he knew that this seventh, then the seventh child came. He went to grab the seventh child, threw her down, the girl, down onto the ground, and she flew into the air. She was Yogamaya. And she said, you're a fool, because the person who's going to kill you is already born. Okay, so I've mucked it up. I'm feeling sick, so my brain's not working properly. Okay, that was the eighth. So the seventh was a miscarriage. He was taken across. But then the eighth, when he came and he threw it down, then he thought that was the child, and then it flew up into the air. So that is a little bit later in the story. So what happened is, I'm just trying to get it all together. I've got a temperature at the moment, so my brain's like not working properly. So when he knew the eighth child was going to be the child who would kill him, so he had surrounded the palace with so many soldiers that they were constantly calling out war cries. So there's so many soldiers walking around, they're crying out these war cries. It sounded like there was thunder clapping all of the time. Because these warriors were walking around shouting all the time. So many warriors, because he didn't want anyone to come in and get the child. He didn't want the child to escape. He wanted to kill that eighth child. But then mysteriously, somehow, by the arrangement of Yogamaya, at the time that eighth child appeared, everyone fell asleep. He had a night guard continuously, because Krishna appeared 12 o'clock at night. So he had a night guard, and they were continuously walking around, but everyone had fallen asleep simultaneously. And Devaki and Vasudev were chained to the wall. And then mysteriously, mystically, their shackles broke, and they became free. And then Vasudev picked up the child, the Vasudev Krishna, and then he walked, and all the gates were locked, and suddenly all the gates became unlocked, and they all opened. And he walked out, and when he went outside, everyone was asleep. He walked past all of the guards, everyone was asleep. And when he got outside, there was a huge storm, and it was raining. And then as he walked out, suddenly Anantasesha appeared as an umbrella, and Anantasesha went over Vasudeva and Krishna, and then as he walked through the rain, none of the rain was touching him. So he walked to the river Jamuna, and when he got to the Jamuna was very turbulent. There were waves, and it was very turbulent. Jamuna was very large, and he thought, how am I going to cross this river? How am I going to take this child across to Vrindavan, across the Nanda Maharaja's place in Gokul? So then he saw a small jackal came and just walked across the river. And the Jamuna is very deep, but he just walked across as if it was only a few inches deep. So then Vasudev began to walk into the river, and he realized the river was only a few inches deep, at least where he was walking. So he began to walk all the way across the river. And then when he got halfway across the river, then the Jamuna, she jumped up, one of the waves jumped up, because she is Krishna's eternal consort. Jamuna Devi is an expansion of Vishakha, one of the gopis. So she's an expansion of Vishakha. So when she saw Krishna, here's Krishna, she jumped up, one of the waves jumped up and grabbed him and took him away. So she was holding him in her arms, the baby Krishna, in the water. So then Vasudeva, everything was dark and it was raining, and he's in the middle of a river and he can't find the child. So he's completely frantic for a few minutes looking around, and then suddenly the wave just goes like that, and the child's sitting on top of the wave. And then he just grabs the child, and then he walks across the river. And then he goes into the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and everyone in the house was asleep. So Mother Yashoda, she'd given birth that night, and she had a difficult delivery. So after she gave birth to the child, she fell asleep. And then everyone fell asleep. And she didn't realize she gave birth to a second child. So two children came out. One was a boy, one was a girl. So when Vasudev went into the house, then he put the child, Vasudev Krishna, onto the bed, and he picked up, he didn't see there was two children because it was dark, he picked up the baby girl, and he left, and he went back to Mathura, same way, went all the way back in. As he walked in, all the doors shut behind him. He went in, put the baby girl down, everyone was asleep. He went to the wall, the shackles went back onto his wrists. And then the child began to cry. The baby girl began to cry. And then all the guards suddenly woke up. And they said, Kamsa, Kamsa. The child is born. So then Kamsa came running. He grabbed the girl, threw her onto the ground. She went up into the air. And she said, you fool. The person who's going to kill you is already born. Like that. And then she disappeared. So meanwhile, back in Vrindavan, the child had been placed on the bed, Vasudev Krishna, next to Shama Sundar Krishna, and they merged into each other. Because Vasudev Krishna merged into the original Swayam Bhagavan. And then Bhadishoda woke up in the morning and she thought, oh, I gave birth to one boy. She didn't realize she'd given birth to twins. The girl had gone. The other boy had merged into that boy. And then she just thought, well, there's my baby Krishna. So Krishna simultaneously appears in Vrindavan and Mathura simultaneously. So the original form of Krishna is that Vrindavan Krishna. And the secondary form the expanded form is the Vasudev Krishna. So one of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam is to teach that this original form of Krishna, the Vrindavan Krishna, is the Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original form of Godhead. Right? Now, you can say the second main teaching in the Bhagavatam is to establish what is the abhideya, or the process of approaching that personality of Godhead. What is the process? Because Lord Chaitanya teaches these three things. The three topics of the Bhagavatam are Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So when Lord Chaitanya teaches these three, he says, in regards to Sambandha, which word does he use to describe Sambandha? He says, Krishna Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha. But Sambandha means relationship. How is everything related in creation? To understand how everything in creation is related to everything else, you have to understand Krishna. You have to understand the original personality of Godhead. When you understand the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, then you understand how everything else connects, how it is related, how he is the source of all incarnations, how he is the source of the Prakriti, the material world, the spiritual world, how he is the source of all the jivas, how he is the source of the Kala Shakti, the time element, how he is the source of karma, which takes place in this world. So the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita, they are understood when we understand Krishna in relationship to everything else. Then there is Abhideya. How do we understand Abhideya? What word does Mahaprabhu use? Bhakti. Yeah. Bhakti, Abhideya. Bhakti is the process, Abhideya means the process, of how to connect the jiva to God. What is the yoga? Yoga means the union. How do we connect God to the soul? How do we connect to God? It is through bhakti. That is the process. That is how we become connected. Otherwise, we remain distant from God. But if bhakti is in the heart, then you become connected to God. You can relate to God. Prabhupada says, the success of your Krishna consciousness is when you see Krishna face to face. And you take him in the hand and you lead him around, just like Mother Yashoda takes him by the hand and leads him around. That is our goal. That is what we are aiming for. Then we have Prayojana. So which word does Mahaprabhu use to describe Prayojana? Krishna Sambandha, Bhakti Abhideya, and Prema, Prayojana. The goal, Prayojana means the goal, or what we are aiming for in our Krishna consciousness, that is called Prema. That is what we are aiming for. Yeah, Prema, Pumata, Mahan. That is the ultimate goal of life. So sometimes if you wonder what is the goal of your life, then you simply have to refer to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Your goal is to develop prema. That is why we are here. Right? We should always, just like in English there is a saying, do not begin a journey unless you understand what is your destination. Right? Do not board a ship unless you understand what is the destination. Of course, it's a lot of fun to do that. Right? Just get on the ship and just... let's see where we go. That's great. That's a good way to live life. Right? Let's just go wherever we want. I'll just get on a train and just wherever it goes, I'll get off. Right? That's exciting. That's good. But in terms of the destiny of your soul, Right? Your eternal journey towards God or the truth, that's not a good philosophy. Right? It's okay when you're down here just, you know, wasting a bit of time in the material world. That's fine. You can just, you know. But you have to know where you're going in terms of your relationship with Krishna or God. And what is, where are we going? What are we striving for? What is it that we are doing here? Sometimes devotees, they forget, what is it we're doing? Why are we here? Right? Devotees become despondent, lose enthusiasm, become confused, desire to go back to the material world. And we see actually that if you look at, just like, say you look at this class now, how many devotees here would you classify as senior devotees? Or devotees who have been here for a long time? Right? I can see 3 or 4. Right? So why is that? Sometimes devotees ask that question. Quite often they ask, why is it that devotees aren't still around? Or why is it they're not actively preaching? Or they're not actively engaged in service? Why is that? Because as time goes by, and you've been a devotee for a long time, you have to continuously challenge yourself in your Krishna consciousness to go further, to go deeper ultimately. One of the 26 qualities of the devotee, Lord Chaitanya teaches to Sanatana Goswami, is Gambhira. Just like Lord Chaitanya lived in a room in Jagannath Puri, it was called Gambhira. Right? Gambhira means deep. So in order to become steady in Krishna consciousness and enthused continuously in Krishna consciousness for many decades and maybe even many lifetimes, you have to become very deep in your Krishna consciousness. You have to continuously challenge yourself to get a deeper taste. So it means you have to understand, what is the prayojana? What am I aiming for? What is the goal of my life? Right? And sometimes devotees don't know what is the goal of their life. And they become despondent. Even one sannyasi, who was one of my shiksha gurus, I was in Vrindavan a few years ago and I was having a talk to him. And we were talking about our philosophy and studying our philosophy. And he said to me, he said, most of the devotees in our movement don't actually understand our philosophy. Meaning that we practice Krishna consciousness even on a daily basis, but we don't really understand why we're doing it. Or we don't have a deep desire in our heart to attain what it is we're meant to be attaining. So that has to be cultivated within our consciousness. That is called prayojana. Prayojana means the goal. It is prema. It is love for Krishna. We are meant to develop love for Krishna. What is love for Krishna? It is a very deep sentiment of attachment to Krishna. And that's why in our path, in our line, in our tradition, our Gaudiya tradition, our particular Gaudiya tradition, which comes through Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis, our padati means our path to perfection. Our padati teaches a particular methodology of reaching prema, right? And it's a 9-step methodology, right? It is called, it begins with Shraddha, then there is Sadhu Sangha, then there is Anatta Nivritti, then there is Nishta. Oh, sorry, I forgot Bhajana Kriya. Okay, so we'll go back to the start. Okay. Thanks to my fever. I can't remember. Okay, which one was first? I was joking. Shraddha. Okay. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, right? Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. Prema is the goal. But to get to Prema, you have to pass through each of the 9 levels. There is a methodology. And you have to see, when you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for a number of years, am I going through the steps? Am I going forward? Because the soul is active. Prabhupada said the soul is not static, it is ecstatic. It's not possible to be static as a soul, because the soul is not static by nature. Right? This microphone is static. Right? It is, doesn't move. Or you can say, like, you know, this watch is static, right? Put it there, right? It's just, okay. Okay. So let's just wreck my class. Okay, very good, thank you. The table is static, right? The table is not moving, right? If you don't touch that table, it will stay there for practically forever until it just deteriorates into, right, nothing, right? So the nature of the material energy, it is static. But the nature of spirit is, it is ecstatic, which means it is always moving, it is constant, it is kinetic, it is always moving from one place to another. So the nature of the soul is that in our Krishna consciousness, we can't stay in one place. You either go forward or you go back. There are your two options. Right? How do you go back? Right? You commit offences to devotees, you commit offences to the holy name, you commit offences to other jivas, you commit offences to the deities. Right? That takes you back. Right? How do you go forward? Right? You perform offenseless chanting. Right? You deal with other living entities offenselessly. You deal with other devotees offenselessly. You deal with the deities offenselessly. Right? And then you go forward in your Krishna consciousness. So you can only go one way or the other. So we have to look continuously. Am I going through these stages? Which stage are we in at the moment? All of us in this room. Which of the nine levels are we in? Very good. We've gone one step forward, further. Which one are we in? Yeah, we're in Anatta Nivritti. All of us are in Anatta Nivritti. At this point in time, we're removing our Arnatas. Arnatas means the unwanted things in our heart. I was listening to a lecture by His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami recently, and he gave I can't remember the exact term that he gave, or the exact description, but it was a brilliant description of an Anatta. But he said something to the effect, it is something which has no value, but you think it is the most valuable thing. That's an Anatta. Right? It doesn't have any value. If you actually look at it, it doesn't have any value. And when you're about to die, you'll probably look at the same thing and you'll think it has no value. But at the moment, it means everything practically to us. That's an Anatta. Yeah? So Anatta Nivritti means removing all of those things. Yeah? And then when you remove those things, who do you get in return? You get Krishna. Right? You can't have Krishna and have the Anatta simultaneously. Just like when the child is being naughty and he has the matches or something in his hand, you say, give me the matches and I'll give you this ladder. Right? But until you hand that over, you don't get this. So that's what Krishna is like. Yayata mam prapajyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender, I'll reward you accordingly. So if you want to give me those anattas, if you want to let go of them, I'll give myself to you. But if you want to hold on to them, then I will stay distant. So we have to go through those nine levels. And then we can progress to the higher stages. Then we become nishta. Nishta means fixed. Then we get ruchi. Ruchi means taste. Right? Then we get asakti. Right? And asakti means attachment. At the platform of asakti, that's when you begin to enter into your swarupa. Swarupa means your eternal relationship with Krishna. That becomes revealed at the higher levels of asakti. Then in bhava, as described in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the pastime of Narad Muni, you hear that Narada, it was in bhava, and he saw the Lord, and then what happened? He disappeared. Right? He saw Krishna, or he saw Narayan, and then Narayan disappeared for the rest of his life. Right? That's bhava. Bhava means you see the Lord, and then he disappears. To increase your attachment, increase your desire to get him. And then prema means he reveals himself fully to you. And it actually describes in Madhurya Kadambini that when you actually reach prema and you meet Krishna, Krishna himself comes and he takes you by the hand and he takes you to Vrindavan. And then what happens? When you see Krishna for the first time, Krishna takes you by the hand and what happens to you? Yeah, you faint. That's what happens the first time. When he touches you, you just lose consciousness and he wakes you up. And according to which rasa you're in, he wakes you up in a different way. If you're in sakya rasa, friendship, he embraces you and he wakes you up. If you're in vatsalya rasa, then he begins to stroke you on the head like a mother or a father. Hey, wake up, wake up. And if you're in Madhurya Ras, then he embraces you in a conjugal way and he kisses you. And he says, wake up, like that. And then you wake up, and then he takes you into Vrindavan, and then he says, look, there's Radharani. Look, there's all the gopis. Look, there's the cows. Look, there's the Jamuna. Look, there's Govardhan Hill. Like that. And then poof, you're back. And then you go back into the pastimes eternally. That's prema. So that is what we are aiming for. We have to understand that is our journey. That's what we're aiming for. And we have to continuously try to get there. It's a long way off and we have to go through the different stages, but we have to feel that we are progressing. Because you can only go backwards or forwards. So you have to continuously analyze your bhakti again and again. Mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says every Ekadashi you have to re-evaluate your devotional progress and see how far have I gone in the last 2 weeks. And then every year, I do it myself, every year I try to go to Vrindavan in Kartik time. And when I go there, then I re-evaluate my devotional service. And I look back at a year and I say, how did I go? Did I progress? Did I go backwards? Did I go forwards? Have I gone forwards in my chanting? Or have I not chanted well this year? What is my... So you have to constantly stop and reevaluate again and again and again. Make sure you're on course. Make sure you're getting to the right place. Just like the other day, we had Koma Prabhu's retreat and some of the girls came down to help do some service on the retreat. And they rang me up in a couple of hours before the retreat started and they said, we're lost. We don't know where we are. You know, we're trying to get to the farm, but we've got no idea where we are. Like that. So when you're traveling somewhere, you have to constantly reevaluate yourself. Stop, right? Look at the map, look at the sign, right? That's what we have to do in our Krishna consciousness continuously. Otherwise, you might end up somewhere else. You know, you're trying to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you might end up in, you know, Brunswick. Or, you know, there's worse places than that. You know, there's places below this earth called Patala, where only demoniac entities live. You might go there. There's all sorts of places you can end up. So you have to make sure you are staying on course. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us to stay on course. It is teaching the original personality of Godhead is Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna in Vrindavan. And the methodology to get to him is bhakti. But not any type of bhakti, it is pure bhakti. Savai pumsam, paro dhammo, yato bhaktir ad hoksaje, ahoituki apratihata. Ahoituki means unmotivated. It is devotional service without motivations. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches us. And apratihata, it means it is unceasing. It doesn't stop and start all the time. That is the type of bhakti that we have to render to get to Krishna. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
And in this stage, how do we know that we are getting rid of anarchists?
When they're not so attractive to you anymore. Right? There are many types of anarchists, or there are many types of negative qualities. So lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, these six are listed, and there are other things which are also there in our consciousness. You have to see, are they reducing? Are you becoming less attached to these negative qualities? So Prabhupada says in the 10th canto, in the Krishna book, in around about the 30th chapter, Prabhupada says, you have to see, is your attachment to Krishna increasing and your attachment to Maya decreasing? Just like when you have scales, you put more on one end, it goes up. You take more off one end, then that end goes down like that. So you have to put more on Krishna side. So the more devotional service you do, then the more your anattas disappear like that. And you have to work on getting rid of them as well. So you have to do practical things to get rid of them. Just like if you're angry, yeah, maybe you have to do an anger management course. Maybe you have to do an anger management course. Maybe you have to work out how to do it. Or you have to learn methodologies to control your anger. Some devotees just go off the handle at anything. They have to learn how to control that. There's methods to do that. Just like when I was growing up, when I was a boy, I used to play tennis. And one of the number one tennis players in the world was John McEnroe. So he's famous for no control of his anger, right? Are you serious?
Are you serious? That ball hit the line. Are you serious?
Like, he's famous. Like, it's like, it was so funny to watch, you know. I was into Bjorn Borg. He was like Iceman, just cool, you know. So he was my idol on the court. No matter what happened, just cool. I never said anything, just cool. But McEnroe, most of the kids were into McEnroe. When McEnroe started throwing the racket, because I used to play tennis, all the kids started throwing rackets. This is like, you know, you'd be playing tennis with someone, then next minute the racket just goes. You know, and you're playing, just trying to play tennis, and the racket's going here and going there. So I was, at Christmas time, I went to visit my wife's family, and my mother-in-law was reading his biography, John McEnroe's biography. The biography is called Serious. Because he used to always say,
"Are you serious?"
It's quite funny. So I read a few pages because I was, you know, staying with him. So I read a few pages, and he regrets that he was like that. He doesn't like that he was like that. But he said, "I was a young kid. I was under heaps of pressure." He's only 20 years old. He's number one tennis player in the world. You know, the whole world. You know, he felt like if I don't win, everyone's going to not like me, and you know, so much pressure. But he said he didn't like it. Didn't like being like that. But he couldn't control it at the time. So he said, now I do anger management course. Right? And he said, it's interesting actually, because I know some people who have anger management issues. And he said that in the anger management course, they taught him, when you feel that you're getting angry, stop, take a deep breath, and count to 10. So he says that's what he does now. When he feels he's starting to lose it, because he, you know, it's his nature to lose it. It's just, he's got that conditioning. He says he stops, takes a deep breath, counts to 10, and he said it works. Right? So that's anger management. So you have to learn to get rid of these anattas. Because, you know, if you're in the spiritual world making garlands, and, you know, and then suddenly, you know,
I can't believe, are you serious? You know, there's no flowers here. You took all the jasmine. You know,
you know, stuff like that. That's not good. Yeah, Krishna is not into it. You don't see Krishna doing that in Vrindavan. You know, Krishna just loses it, you know.
Where's the laddu? You know? Are you serious? There's no laddu.
Yeah. You won't see these things taking place. Because yeah. He's very composed. Krishna is composed. And on the spiritual platform, people are composed. Right? And what's an example of someone who's on the spiritual platform, who lived in our lifetime, or close to our lifetime, is Prabhupada. You didn't see Prabhupada lose it. If Prabhupada became angry, like his anger was like a mountain coming down on your head. If he became angry at you, he'd just, for the next moment, completely composed. He just used the anger to remove an obstacle in Krishna's service, but then it was composed once again. Anger can be used in Krishna's service, but it has to be controlled. Right? So, lust, anger, greed, you know you're making progress when you begin to control these things. You don't feel as greedy as you used to, you know. How many saris do you need? Yeah, not many. But, you know, you go to some people's houses, you know, there must be 30, 40, 50 saris in the cupboard. More than that. More than that. Yeah. I know some devotees, some friends of mine in Mayapur, have got like 30 kirtas. What do you need 30 kirtas for? Like that. So you have to feel that every year, like, goes down to 29, then 20. 27. It has to go down. Gradually it has to decrease, not increase. Like that. So you have to feel that your anattas are going down, not going up. Like that. So that means your bhakti is effective. It means you're following the process properly. It means you're chanting properly. If you chant properly, these things go less. If you don't chant properly, they can actually increase. And that's it. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Would you like to tell us why Lord Krishna wanted Vishnuji to give the sermon to Yudhishthira?
Yeah, we didn't get to that part. There's a long purport. There's many, many points in the purport. But actually, that's a whole topic for a class. But Krishna, he glorified Bhishma. Even Krishna could not console Yudhishthira, which is amazing. It's a whole class to speak on that. But it's amazing that Krishna himself could not even console Yudhishthira. So sometimes Krishna likes to make the devotee glorified even more than him. Just like Krishna could have won the battle of Kurukshetra, but he let Arjuna take the credit. And he could have consoled Yudhishthira. He could have done it. But it was more satisfying for him to let Bhishma Dev take that credit. So it's part of Krishna's nature. He likes the devotees to be glorified.
What I'm asking, how Bhishma is so qualified? How he is so qualified?
Because he's a pure devotee. Pure devotees are practically as qualified as Krishna. So they can practically they can do what Krishna does. He's a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. He's a pure devotee. Any other question or comment? We all have to decrease. The men as well. Men just get attached to different things. Men are attached to Birkenstocks, Samsonite, IBM, all these different iPhones and all those different things. So we just have different attachments. So we don't have as many dhotis, but we're still attached. So any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.